Kwa wale ambao ni wageni siku yao ya kwanza kuwa mahali hapa, we would want to welcome you once more into a series that we are finishing. Leo ni siku yetu ya mwisho kuwa katika inaitwa msururu. Hey James, at least I thank God James is from Coast, atakuwa ananisaidia sana katika Kiswahili. So we have been doing this series entitled Seat, Walk, Stand. And today we are doing part 12. That means we have been on this thing for 11 weeks all together. It has been a series through the book of Ephesians. And for those of us who have followed it, can I see someone who has listened for the last 12 weeks that you haven't missed a week? 1 week only? Oh, yani, no. There is only one person who has... We are not doing very well. No, but I have also been there. So to Kawawiri, and I'm sure my wife has been there. We haven't missed any of this. But I'm sure whatever portion you have found, you may have missed one or two. If you have been keen to listen to what the Spirit is saying, you can say we have a reason to be excited at what God is saying and what God is doing in our lives. So today is part 12 and the very final one. And before I go into that, allow me to just do a recap. For the sake of those who have not been with us, the book of Ephesians, we say it starts or opens up Paul telling the Ephesians that blessed be God who has blessed us. That is the first thing that we see. And he goes deeper and enumerates a few blessings that he could point out. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Number one, the blessing of salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Justification. Romans 3 4, 24. The blessing of victory over sin. Romans 5 20. The power to testify. Romans 12 3. The power to serve. The adoption into the family of God. Ephesians 1 3. The promise of resurrection. Those are the blessings. And if you listen to the title, it says sit, walk, stand. And we say in the first the first portion, Paul talks about where we are seated. And he says we are seated together with Christ. And therefore we can be partakers of these blessings that I have talked about. So sitting was the most consistent thing from chapter 1 to 3. That we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And then from there, chapter 4, we saw Paul telling us, or the Spirit of God through Paul, telling us that now that we are seated with Christ, it is expected of us to walk in a certain way. Number one, we said, chapter 4 verse 3, we were supposed to walk in unity. Chapter 4 verse 17, you are supposed to walk in purity. Chapter 5 verse 2, you are supposed to walk in love. Chapter 5 verse 8, walk in the light. And chapter 5 verse 15, walk in wisdom. I think by now, I'm just giving you, if you haven't followed it up, please take these portions of scripture, go and study. You will see a very good flow of what is expected of us. Now, last week, part 11 of this, we said that Paul went into our houses and he gave us household regulations or household instructions on how do we live. We said that there are five areas of relationships that it was expected of us to be careful. It talks about wives to husbands to wives, children with their parents, fathers to their children, bond servants to their masters, and masters to their servants. And we said, as a conclusion of what we were doing last week, that when the members of the family are walking with the Lord, at a personal level, everything falls in place. If you are married and you are walking with the Lord, and your spouse is walking with the Lord, everything else falls in place. The challenges that you get along the way, they will be fixed somehow. You will be able to navigate your way, but the question remains, are you at a personal level walking with the Lord? And that same question, if you can answer affirmatively, then your spouse can answer the same, you will enjoy life even at a married level. And therefore, last week, we saw something that is constant. In all these chapters, we see something that is constantly repeated. Chapter 1 to 3, we say, Paul talks about sitting. And he repeats the word many times. Sit, you are seated, you are sitting with Christ in his heavenly places. From there, chapter 3, we saw Paul talking about, chapter 4, sorry, talking about walking. And constantly, last week, we saw one thing that I would want to point out, that in our relationships, Paul says, as you relate as unto the Lord. That was the most constant thing that we saw. And Musichoke, I know today we are expected to go, some of us, for the AGM, and I'm not going to be very long. But chapter 5, verse 22, he says, wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wife as the Lord loved the church, as Jesus loved the church. Children, chapter 6 and verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, bring up your children, training them in admonition, to the Lord. And chapter 6 and verse 5, bond servants, obey your earthly masters as unto the Lord. And chapter 6, verse 9, it says, masters, do the same to your servants. Doing the same, meaning do it as unto the Lord. So those are the most constant things. So in your relationships, is unto the Lord, whatever you do. And now, today, we are going to read where we left chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this dark world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And for me, pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Therefore, therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So from there on, Paul goes to greetings. So allow me not to read the final greetings that he offers to the people. But when we talk about, when Paul is talking about finally, he is saying we are coming to the end of what I have been telling you. And for sure we are also coming to the end of the book of Ephesians. And he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So as he has been talking about areas of life where we have been blessed, where we have been tempted, where the battle rages, he is here telling us this is the end of it. Brethren, it is about being strong. Not being strong with ourselves or within ourselves, but being strong in the Lord. The same thing that we have been talking about in the Lord. In the Lord has been the constant thing. We are seated together with him. Walk with him. Walk worthy of this gospel of the Lord. So he finally says, now be strong and in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want to say that you as an individual, me as Matthew, I am not able to stand against the devil without the power of God. You cannot overcome the enemy until you are standing in the Lord, not by your own strength, not by your own ability, not because I have been experienced. And experience is so good. Some of us have served the Lord for a time now. But I want to tell you, the moment you start thinking that now I have come too far to look back, I am backsliding proof, I cannot be tempted, I can't fall into sin, and you start trusting in your own self, that is the time that we will see you coming down. All this has to be strong in the Lord. And not only that, but in the power of his might. The Lord is saying that Paul is saying there is some might, there is some power that is in the Lord. And when you stand in him, you will be able to make use of this power. You remember earlier, we talked about the power of God that is at work within us. There is power that is at work within us. And this is the power that Paul is telling us, stand therefore in the power of his might. We all do not doubt that God is mighty. Praise the Lord. God is mighty. And because he is, and we are his children, he is calling us to stand in that power. So put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the will of the devil. Now, two things. That is the first time that we see in our portion of scripture the word stand. And I want to read now conscious so that you can get how many times he repeats. Now be conscious about this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, all that. And he continues until he gets to the time when he says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about by the truth, and having the breastplate of salvation, of breastplate of righteousness. So again, he repeats the word stand. And then he continues and says, and having done that, to stand. Now, consciously, when you read that, you realize he has repeated this word more than three times. He is saying, stand against the devil, stand so that you may be able to stand, and having done that, having stood, to stand. Having stood, stand. Brethren, one of the biggest predicaments that we have in the Christian church of today are people, members of this body, that cannot stand. They cannot stand for what they believe. They cannot stand for the faith that they profess. They cannot stand and say, this is what I believe. And for those of us who have attended the Bible studies that we've been doing, remember we were doing the story or the study of Daniel. And Daniel was commended or is commended by just being able to stand. Brethren, pressure will come. There are things that will demand and they will look like you cannot stand and be able to come out victoriously. But stand therefore, not in your own power, but in the power of his might. Standing, amen. Standing is what the Lord is calling us to do. And now, having said that about standing, Paul is or takes time to introduce to us the enemy that we are fighting with. Let me say, the day that you accepted the Lord, the day you said yes to the Lord, several things. I can count four things. I can count four things that happened when you said yes to Jesus Christ. Number one, you started a relationship with God. I think that is the most basic of what happened. You said yes, and Christ came into your life. You started a relationship with God. Your sins were forgiven. Your condemnation was removed. You are no longer to be condemned. You are separated with death. That is the first thing. Now, number two, you are made a new creation. A new creation that is responsive or that responds to the voice of God. Initially, you could not hear the voice of God. And Paul, if you remember what he said that in chapter 1, he says that you are dead in your own sins and your transgressions. But when you accepted the Lord, you became a new creation, a creator, a creation that responds to God. Number three, another thing that happened is that you became a member of the community of God. And now that is why we see Paul is telling us the way we need to walk as a church, because we are all members of this community. You cannot say that who you are does not affect me. I cannot say that who I am does not affect her or does not affect him. The truth of the matter is, the way I am, who I am affects you, and who you are affects me. You became part of this community, the family of God. Now, number four, and this is where we are concentrating on today. When you said yes to the Lord, you provoked the attention of the enemy. And his goal, his primary goal, is to destroy the works of God, and in who you are at the center. The purpose of God is what the enemy, the devil, wants to destroy. And this is why you became his enemy. Let us remember, Paul says that by then you used to follow the ways of this world, the principalities of this world. You used to follow the forces, the powers of this world, of this dark world. So the former, your former boss, your former master became your enemy. And now, so Paul takes time to introduce to us the enemy. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That tells us that the devil is our enemy, number one. And he manifests in many areas of this life. Number one, he will manifest in our bodies, the lust of the flesh. He will also manifest, if you remember, he talks about you as an individual, where you have been seated, where you are placed. The enemy manifests in our own bodies. Now, secondly, he manifests in the areas where we are serving, in the church of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, he manifests in our relationships. So this is why you see Paul is talking about the individual, where we are. Now he goes again into relationships, our workplaces, and then into our homes. These three areas, you need to be careful about them. You as an individual, your body, that is the self in you. He will manifest and tempt you in those areas. But today, we are not only seeing the enemy, we are also looking at just four E's, and then I will be done. Number one, we have talked about the enemy. So Paul today helps us to focus on the enemy. He says your enemy, the devil. That is the enemy number one. Now, the other thing that he focuses or wants us to focus on is the equipment of war. I'm still not, I'm yet to know whether equipment is plural or singular. I argued with my teacher one time that equipment is plural or singular, and I'm still not. Now that you are the ones in school, some of you, can you help me? Should it have S?
No.
All right. We are all in agreement. Okay. So the enemy, the equipment, the energy, and the encouragement. We have said the enemy. Now, let us take just a few minutes and look at the enemy. Why do we need to look at the enemy? In any war, if you do not know who you are fighting, if you do not know what you are fighting against, you can be sure you will be defeated. I am a lover of documentaries, and I occasionally would watch several, and I want to encourage you to be watching some of these things. And I'm in the movie called Neptune Spear was the enemy. It's both. You can get it in both a documentary and also a movie. It is a time when the US were targeting the enemy called Osama bin Laden. And they did their surveillance so well. They did their intelligence so well that the operation, it is called Operation Neptune Spear. It was supposed to take 53 minutes. It was precisely, we are going to enter this compound. From the time we enter the country, where did he come from? Osama bin Laden? From? Afghanistan. From when we enter the border of Afghanistan to the time we are through and he is dead, it will take 53 minutes. Precisely. And let me tell you, it took 49 minutes. Can you guys watch that? Go and watch that one. It is the intelligence that is done so well. So well, it is, and no soldier died. Can you believe it? That you will go into another country, nobody, they were not sensed at all. They were sensed when they were already inside the compound and inside the house. That is now what Paul is helping us to do. To ask ourselves, who is our enemy? How does he manifest? How does he fight? And what do we need to fight against him? So, Paul says that our enemy, the devil, and I want to reach it there. What Paul is saying is, the trouble is not where you think it is. When troubles come into such organizations, into such a church, people will start looking, who could be the problem? But I want to tell you that the problem is not among the people in the database. You know, we have a list of our members. Do you believe it? The list is not, the trouble is not among all those ones. You will check one by one. Sometimes you may think that praise and worship leader. Sometimes you may think that usher. You may think the problem is the pastor. The problem is somebody here. But do you know the problem is not any of us? Sometimes you think so and so. Walikuwa wanasengenya so and so. And when churches grow, this happens a lot. Huyu anaongea juu ya huyu. Huyu akaongea juu ya huyu. Huyu anapigana na huyu. But sometimes the enemy would want us to not focus on the real enemy. So you find Dennis is talking about the other one. The other one is talking about the other one. And you think the problem is among them. Paul is telling us, look where you are supposed to. The problem is not among the people in the database. The problem is elsewhere. The enemy is elsewhere. It is not in the family. The enemy is not your spouse. My husband, the enemy is not Bibi. Believe me, wives, the enemy is not the husband. And I think the bombshell is, wives, the mothers, the mother-in-law is not the problem. The problem is, there is a problem within, you know, behind the face that you see, there is a problem. So, the enemy hides and make sure that he is not seen. He makes sure ya kwamba, wewe ukiangalia, utaona huyo mwingine. And he is able to camouflage and to remain not at the forefront, yet causing a lot of harm. Now, how does he fight? He says that you may stand against the devil's scheme. What the other translation says is the devil's wiles. Now, what is a scheme? Wacha niwaambie, shetani hakuanguki. Yani, sio ati mumepatana tu kimakosa. You know, unajua ile ya kuangukiwa. Shetani hakuanguki. Please listen, that you may stand against the schemes of the enemy. You know, today, unaweza kuwa unatembea hapa, na by just coincidence, mkutane na mwizi, awe akitoka the other direction, na aku attack. But the enemy is not like that. The devil is not like that. By scheme, I mean, if I am scheming against this lady, I will observe her. Niangalie, akitoka kwa nyumba, anatokaga saa ngapi. That would mean, sio kitu ati leo ametoka saa mbili, kesho ametoka saa tatu, nitakuwa na an average for a long time. Nijue anatoka saa hii, anaingia saa hii. Akitoka, anaenda hivi. Ninamfuata, ni akifika pale, anachukua gari akienda hivi ama hivi. Akifika huko, anafanya nini? Yani ya kwamba, I am scheming. Ni kitu ninapanga. And the enemy is also doing the same. What does he want? To destroy the work of God against you. The enemy, yani, sio hiyo kuangukiwa ya kwamba ati nimeshika homa. No. The enemy planned it. For what reason? He wants you to doubt the power of God that heals. He is targeting, he has planned, and may execute a plan that is squarely done. Imefanywa, imepangwa. So whatever you are going through, it is not a coincidence. Whatever you are going through at home, my dear sister, my dear brother, that what you think the other person is the problem. And I know many a times, and this will happen a lot, unaweza sikia mtu alikuwa na shida nyumbani, sijui akaenda kuona mganga fulani pahali. All that they capitalize on is they will come na wakuulize, kwa niba yako pade ile ingine. You unajua kila mtu wako na neighbor. Yule neighbor alikuangalia vibaya siku ile. And you know, if you start really getting deep, and you will get them. So anakupangia, anakuonyesha yule huyo neighbor, and he wants you to not focus on the real thing. And he has succeeded in many, many ways. So, number one, his scheme, number one, is when you do not, you take him for granted. And you start thinking, the devil has nothing to do with this, it is my mother-in-law. The devil has nothing to do with this, it is my husband. Whoever, you can fill in the gap. That my problem ni so and so. The day you fall for that trap, my sister, you have fallen in for the trap of the devil. I wish there is a way I can say this and put it in your mind. Nani sindirie uko. The day you fall for that trap, ile siku James utaanza kutafuta ni nani huyo alifanya hiyo kitu ifanyike, utampata, and the enemy will have succeeded because he knows ya kwamba now, instead of concentrating on fighting the real battle, you will concentrate on fighting people. So that is number one, where he makes sure that we are fighting spirit, we are fighting flesh and blood. And this is what Paul is saying, for our battle is not flesh and blood. Brethren, our battle is not flesh. The moment you find yourself fighting flesh, you are wrong. The moment you fight, you wake up one day and you fight the battle of the flesh, you are wrong. The problem is not the people. Now, scheme number two, and I'm only going to do those two. Scheme number one is the wrong focus. Scheme number two is the wrong confidence. And he says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, he is telling you that your victory is not any coming from anywhere else. It can only come because this armor belongs to God. Ya kwamba, ni kitu umepewa. God is not telling you to put on your armor, muende na yeye. He is telling you, this is the armor of God. I wish I could translate a song in Kikuyu. A song that is so common, but I sing it in English and I think it has missed the point. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal... What is the first stanza? Lift high. I think the person who interpreted that song in Kikuyu, and Mark will tell me whether in Lurand, how do you translate that in Lurand? And then my brother will tell me what they translated in Kisi. Now, sir, he tells me he's not Kisi, he's Kuria. And then I think we're going to have so much. You come from which people tribe? Mijikenda. Pauline, do you speak the same language with Mark?
I'm sure, yeah.
Eh? You are not sure. So we are going to have so many translations. But let me give, now that I am the one here, let me give you mine. Mine is so good. I think that one, you know, that's what we call progressive revelation. You know, by the way, now, on a serious note, progressive revelation, today we believe what we know about the Bible, Paul may not have known. Because there is progressive revelation. There are things that we do not know, that the apostles did not know. So I tend to think the person who interpreted in Kikuyu must have been so progressive in revelation. And he came up with something like this. Anake ukirai. I'm going to interpret. No, but he gets to a time and he says, take up this armor. But he says, before you take your own armor, stop. Stop it. Don't take any other armor. Take the armor of God. And he says, and I am trying to interpret word for word, take only the things that are made by God. Hallelujah. Take only the things that are made from God and by God. Ati oyai ito iria ituleiro kwa gai. Hallelujah. It is nice. It feels nice that you take the only things made by God and made from His place, from heaven. So as you take the whole armor of God, please do not imagine that there are things that are made here. Anybody that doesn't speak my language, Dennis, will make sure umeniambia what it says in Luya land. Because I tend to think if the Luya one was translated later, may have come with another progressive liberation and may have been better. So in Kikuyu, he says, only take the things that are made by God. Because he says the assurance is the one, when you take the things that are made by God, the person who has these kind of things will never be defeated. And that is now what the English one says, that it will not suffer loss. You know, the one that goes with the armor of God will never suffer loss. Brethren, I desire to be that man. I desire that we will be that woman who goes into this battle only with what is made by God, made from him for his own children, because that is victory assured. Hallelujah. So we are saying that the enemy has targeted you. And he targets you so that you may not stand. That is his purpose. He purposes that you may not stand. So, now we have looked at the enemy. We are looking at the equipment. Paul says, take now the full armor of God. This is the equipment that we are saying, that this must be the armor of God, not the armor of man approved by God, but it is the armor of God approved by God for his own children. So let us understand that this armor belongs to God. Let me say that any kingdom that sends out fighters to fight arms them. Amen. Any kingdom, any country, hakuna mtu anaambiwa sasa wewe enda Sudan ukapigane na utafute vitu zako za kupigana. Have you ever heard that? Tungekula tunaona KDF wengine wameenda na mashebe, wengine na majebe, wengine na visu, wengine na... But anybody that is sent for war is armed by the government or by the kingdom that he represents. Hallelujah. And today, let us remember, the battle we are fighting is not of this earth. Hallelujah. It belongs to God, and he clothes us. He arms us that we may come out of this world victorious for the sake of his kingdom. For the equipment of that we have is heavenly. The kingdom soldiers are clothed and are armed by the kingdom. So he says, stand. No, we have looked at the enemy. We have looked at the equipment. And let us just shortly looked at the position that we ought to have. He says that stand, therefore. Now, having known your enemy, having known your equipment, you are therefore supposed to stand. What it is doing, it is removing confidence from any other person or any other thing. The only thing that you will have confidence in is the armor of God, made for you specifically, that you may come out in a standing position. Now, upright position, not lying down, not kneeling, not sitting down, but standing. So he continually repeats it 3 or 4 times, saying, stand. And having stood, stand again. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Please, my dear ones, stand your ground. Troubles will come. You can be sure they will come. But when you are have the armor of God, you will be able to stand. So what helps you to stand? The truth. Put on the belt. Okay. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. Now, the belt And I know we can do it pictorial, and we can, the Roman soldier, let's remember, for those who are not here earlier, we started with chapter 0 before we came to chapter 1. Before what happened before Paul had written chapter 1, we said he is tied, his hands are tied onto a Roman soldier. So he is not talking about things that he is imagining. Anaangalia a Roman soldier, anasema akona helmet, anaandika helmet. Anamuangalia tena, anasema akona breastplate, anaandika ni akona breastplate. And all this. So he says, he is now observing. And he says, now, having done all this, to stand. And the truth is what will help you to put on everything, to have everything in place. A Roman soldier had a belt where he will slip in his sword. He will hook, he had a breastplate that will still be hooked there. All these things will be put together by the truth, the word, stand in having the belt of truth. So the belt of truth will put you together. Now, let us not confuse this with the gospel of truth. Because earlier, later on, he speaks about having your truth, your feet soiled with the gospel of truth. Now, there are two ways here. There is the truth that you need to stand. And there is the truth that there is what you need to have a grip. And there is what you need to have your feet on as a cover. Brethren, the problem with many Christians today is that they will go looking for things that will not help. When trouble comes, and we had said this, because your life is not in one piece, you are not held together. Unaenda unatafuta kwa huyu. What is the truth about this? Unatafuta kwa huyu mwingine. And sure enough, the enemy is out to destroy somebody that is not standing. Utaenda, utaitishwa. Utaitishwa kuku mweusi. Yule hana. Madoadoa. Utaitishwa. The reason is not, I mean, and the when we talked about the wrong confidence, what this guy is telling you is that, look, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was not enough for you. Unahitaji kuongeza ya kuku kidogo. Why? Because you are not standing on the truth. Your life is not in one piece. Brethren, what the Lord requires of you is that you may stand. Know on what you are standing. And when you are standing, you will be, by the way, it is not about, God can choose to do what you are praying. Or he can choose not to do it, but still glorify his name. Unaweza kuwa uko na shida, umeomba mara ya kwanza, umeomba ya pili, ya tatu na ya kumi. God may choose not to do it. I think we were talking somewhere about death. And we were asking ourselves, like you know, Paul reached a place, akajiuliza, ni gani mzuri? Ni kukufa ama ni kuishi? Akasema, mimi hata sijui. Nikikufa, it's so good. And sometimes, we feel like we are praying for people not, you know, to live. We want to leave them, but we want them to live. But to continue living, God may have seen a better thing. He may call them home, because that is what will glorify him. Remember, Daniel, he chooses. Hawa watu wanaweza niweka kwa a den of lion. But then he has to choose. Do I compromise my faith because of the fear of death? And he does what? That day that he is told nobody should pray, he goes and opens the door, lifts up his words towards Jerusalem. For what reason? He knows whether God will do what I am asking of him, whether he doesn't, I still remain in his own hand, that he can use me for the glory and for the honor of your
of his holy name.
So having your belt, the belt of truth, the belt of truth. And apart from that, he talked about there are things that we are supposed to put on. Those ones should live on. You should always live on them. So put on, now, number one, the full armor of God. Number two, now that is the belt of truth. Always having it, putting it on. So there are three things he says put on. Start by the full armor of God. Number two, put on, he talks about the truth as putting it on and the breastplate of righteousness in place. So stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, from there, he talks about the things that you put on, but from there, in verse 16, he talks about the things that you take up. There are things you put on. They should remain on forever and ever. Anytime you remember, you are in a continuous battlefield. The truth should never leave you. Righteousness. And this righteousness, he talks about righteousness being in place. It is not righteousness because of what you do. It is righteousness that is imputed by Christ. You are righteous not because of what you do, but because of the work of Christ has done in you. So righteousness and the truth, and then the whole armor, it should be put in place. You should always put them on. Now, number six, verse 16, he talks about, in addition to this, take up. Now, there are things that you should take up as need be. You know, when need required, it required, take up. And he talks about the helmet of salvation. In addition to this, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. Then he talks about the helmet of salvation. He is guarding what is already put in us. The shield of faith is supposed to guard. The helmet, guarding of your mind, guarding of the things that come from your heart. And then he talks about praying at all times. And then you are supposed to take the sword of the Spirit. So, taking three things, taking or having on three things. And now when he talks about when he talks about the things that you take on, you remember that you are supposed to be continuously on the battlefield. There is a way you are supposed to be dressed. There is a way you are supposed to be ready at all times. But there is that attack that will come. You can have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the helmet of salvation. But having done this, I'll still keep reminding you, the reason for this is to have you to stand. We can go to the details. But as long as you are not standing, the enemy will take advantage of you. But brethren, we are called to stand against the enemy. Many a times we go out rebuking the devil and uprooting him and doing all this. But the Bible says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. Do not allow him to come and suggest things and you start following him. Because some of these suggestions, they come so easily. Brethren, when you go out sharing your troubles, there will be people that will tell you, kuna mtu nilienda nikaona somewhere, akanisaidia. At that point, kwa kweli alikusaidia, alikufanyia mambo, lakini where is your confidence? Remember the scheme of the enemy. number one is the wrong, number two is the wrong confidence and the wrong focus. What the enemy wants of you is you remove your focus on the Lord and you start having confidence that is built on something else. The same singer I had quoted earlier sang and stayed, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. Reason being, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. The moment you trust your own, the moment you trust a fellow man, cursed be the man who trusts on his fellow, on a fellow man. Brethren, men will not help you. I cannot help you. But who is standing, those that the one that is standing in the Lord will get their help from God at all times. And we talk about we have talked about the equipment. Now, let us talk about the encouragement. We started by saying that the battle that we are fighting, we fight it with the power of God. I want to read 2 Corinthians as I finish. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to this encouragement. I know it has always been used for, we have always used this for the battle, the day of battle. But verse 3 of chapter 10, 2 Corinthians says, For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. I find this to be very encouraging. There is a way the world does its war. But even though we live here with the world, in the world, together with the people of the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapon we fight with are not the weapon of the world. On contrary, they have divine power. Hallelujah. That is so encouraging that I am in the battlefield. I am fighting today and tomorrow. But the confidence that I have is that the battle, the weapons that I fight with are not carnal. They are not earthly weapons. But on contrary, they have divine power, number one, to demolish strongholds. Don't ever think that it is only your pastor who can come and help you demolish the strongholds in your life. The stronghold in your life can be demolished just by you standing against the wills of the enemy. And you do not need any other person. And we will still pray. We will come. We will pray together. But you are enough to destroy, because the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captivity, every thought, to make it to the obedience of Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. Paul links our battle to our obedience. Brethren, there are those things that are clear. The Lord has spoken to you and to me. Then when we obey them, we will be able to execute and to fight this war, to finish and to put everything to subjection when we have obeyed. Please, can we commit ourselves to obey that what we know? Having done that, we will be able to put every power, every argument to its place, because we have followed and we have obeyed what the Lord has already made known to us. The weapon that we fight with are not carnal. We have a reason to celebrate. And we do not fight for victory. We are fighting from victory. Victory
belongs to you, my dear sister, my dear brother. So in conclusion, I want us to pray. And I want every one of us to commit themselves into the hands of the living God. Having known the enemy, having known his strategy, that he is scheming against us, we know the equipment that we have, they are mighty through God. We know the encouragement that we have in him, that indeed we have superior weapons, we have superior armory, because God has given us what belongs to us so that we can fight with. So I want us to stand up, and I want to take just some few minutes. Shall we stand up? I want us to take just a few minutes, every one of us, as you look at the battles in your life. The enemy may have come in one way or another, or he may have taken you off the focus. You may have thought that this battle will be won by how I will fight it on my own power. But listen to the Lord telling you, you have divine power, you have divine equipment, the equipment that God has given that you may fight this battle so that you can come out of this victoriously. Can let us go before the Lord. Just whisper to the Lord concerning the battles in your life, that he may help you to stand, to take your ground, and having done everything, that you are going to come out at the standing position, knowing that it is God who is calling you to stand for him. Resist the devil, my brother. Resist the devil, my sister. And he is going to free from you. Yes, the enemy may have taken your family to destroy it. The enemy may be speaking in your jobs that you have no future, you have no hope. But in the name of Jesus, we can fight this battle and we can win, because the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. We take the might of God and we want to walk in the power of the living God. As we walk, we are going to walk confident that the enemy is defeated, not because of our power, not because of our wisdom, not because of our ability, but because of the great power and the wisdom of God he has shed upon our lives. Thank you, Jehovah God. We worship you and give you glory. That God, you have called us to fight this battle, and you have given us a divine ability to fight with a divine weapon, the weapons of our warfare. The word tells us that are not carnal. They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. How I want to pray that every one of us will take this mighty power of God, and we will walk in this confidence that the weapons that we are fighting with are mighty through God. Father, there are those fighting the battles in their families. We want to pray that the weapon will be real in our lives. We are going to be found on a standing position. Yes, we are going to be on a standing position where we can declare what we know. We can declare the wisdom of God in the situations that we are in. In our families, we can declare the power of God and the weapons that we are fighting with. We know confidently that they are mighty through God. Our God, we give you praise.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear God, we are standing before your presence this morning. You have spoken to us concerning the battle that we are fighting, concerning the weapons of our warfare, and you have assured us that they come from you and they are tailored for victory. Lord, I want to speak that in the life of every one of us that is in this congregation, we are going to walk knowing that victory belongs to us because we belong to God. We want to speak victory upon our lives and upon our families. Lord, in situations where the enemy may have taken the preeminence, we may have been fighting the wrong battles in our lives, we are praying that in the name of Jesus, we are going to come out of this place with a clear definition of the battle that we are fighting. That we are fighting against the spirits of the devil, the principalities of the wicked one. That in the name of Jesus, we have victory because we have been ordained for victory. In the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy may have taken root in our families, destroying our marriages, destroying our children, destroying the things that we value in our lives, that we may change our focus and trust in other things on our other men. But in the name of Jesus, I want to pray that every one of us who is in this place, our focus will be on Jesus. Our focus will be on the blood that was shed on Calvary for us, knowing that that blood gave us victory and we are going to stand therein. In the name of Jesus, we will stand to claim that our families will stand. We will proclaim that our jobs will stand. Our society, dear God, we are claiming that we are going to stand for the glory and for the honor of your holy name. Lord, we want to surrender our lives into your hands. God, may you reveal to us that what is in your purpose for us to accomplish. In the name of Jesus, may you anoint us for that purpose. And dear God, I pray that our eyes and our ears are going to be keen to see you and to hear you at all times. And having done all this, I pray that all of us will be standing at the position where you are calling us to stand for that what is true, for that what is divine, for that what you have ordained for every one of us. May you be blessed, may you be glorified in our lives. And I pray that in our lives, we are going to be billboards that you have laced, God, for people to see the kind of work that you can do in transforming lives. We thank you, we honor you. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray and give thanks. Amen.